And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for another edition of Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. Amber, good to see you again.
You too. Thank you.
As always,
yes.
Pleasure. Say, it's National Memory Day.
It sure is.
Today.
It is.
In conjunction with Ag Day today, National
it
Ag
is.
Day.
And thank you to all the farmers from a dietitian.
Hats off to the ag industry.
Absolutely.
But we're going to talk not about agriculture necessarily today.
No, you've got lots of great ag programs.
It might be working into it, a little bit with the
absolutely
producing our food and all this kind of thing. But we're going to talk about memory and diet and lifestyle today.
You got it.
All right. Well, let's kick it off. Tell us about it.
I will. So first, we'll start with a quiz on all the previous Taco Tuesdays we've done to see how your memory is.
Yep. Chickpeas. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that to you. so memory is really interesting when it comes to food, because there's one kind of area that we've hit on a little bit in the past about how memory itself just impacts what we eat, how we eat, when we eat, where we eat, all of those kinds of things. So we think about memories from our childhood. We've talked about that before, kind of favorite meals that our parents made growing up, or our grandma's favorite treats, or anything like that. So we have just inherently with food and diet this really deep connection with memory. And hopefully most of those are happy memories of food moments.
Oh, most of them.
Sometimes they're not
so
happy.
We talked a little
memories.
Bit last week about food poisoning.
Yeah, we did. Those are the not so good memories. Absolutely. Other things too, anytime people have made comments about our food, the food on our plate, people always think when they eat with a dietitian that I'm sitting there analyzing everything that they have on their plate, but I promise you, people are probably analyzing what I eat, what I buy at the grocery store, what they see me carrying, far more than I ever analyze what anybody else is doing, unless they ask me to. But sometimes comments that people have made about that, or comments we've heard from people, those things stick in our memory and affect how we feel about our own bodies, our own diet, all of that kind of stuff too. Especially if we hear them as children, teens, last long into adulthood. I was at a conference recently, and I had a Facebook post about this too, but one of the presenters was sharing some information about whole health, which is looking at all of the areas of wellness for us. And he talked a little bit about memory, and he said, how do we use our memory to shape how our lives move forward? And I thought that was such an interesting question, because we can look at all of these memories that we have with so many different areas of life, but also food. How do we use our food memories to shape, or our memories of those comments or anything like that? How do we use that to move forward? Do we use it to help us make healthy choices, change habits, maintain the healthy habits that we've had, or do they kind of negatively impact it? So I always like to tell people that's kind of a fun thing to think about is, what are some of your first food memories? What are happy memories that you have? How can we capitalize on those and have them kind of overpower any of the not so happy memories that we have around food? But beyond that, since you guys can go online and check out the Facebook post on that if you want to read a little bit more, but we also think of memory from the standpoint of dementia or cognitive decline or maintaining memory as we age, our ability to remember things. And I really wanted to hit on that a little bit today, because there is so much research about how what we eat impacts how our memory is as we age. Now, I think it's important to give a little bit of a disclaimer. Sometimes you'll see dietitians, nutritionists, or whoever on TV pitching a product or a diet that's a cure-all, right? Diet isn't the 100% factor.
Kind of hard to find one thing.
You can't, right? So diet is here as a supportive factor. When we talk about what you can do or what you can avoid, it's not a complete solution. So I'm not here to say, if you do this starting today, I promise you'll never have any memory decline in the future. Because a lot of other things play into it. Genetics play into it. Environment plays into it. All of the different reasons that people develop dementia or any kind of cognitive decline. But in all of those scenarios, diet has been shown to be at least somewhat impactful in a positive or negative way with maintaining it. So many of our listeners have probably been impacted by cognitive decline, either memory loss of their own that they're dealing with, a loved one who has dementia or Alzheimer's disease. And it's a challenging thing to deal with. It's a hard thing to manage. It's a hard thing to watch people go through and to participate in. certain diets have been shown to be good tools for managing kind of that severe, more severe levels of dementia. The two that probably have the most research behind them are the ketogenic diet and the Mediterranean diet, which is interesting because they're two very different diets. Keto and Mediterranean are in no way the same thing, but they do have a few things in common. So they're low in added sugars and refined carbohydrates. Neither one is going to have a lot of those. They're rich in colorful vegetables, which makes them rich in fiber and those phytonutrients we've talked about before. They're rich in healthy fats, unsaturated fats in particular, and they're moderate in protein. So they're not a high protein diet. They're not a low protein diet. In contrast, the standard American diet or a Western diet has been more associated with cognitive decline, especially in animal models, but we're starting to see it more in humans too. So the standard American diet, which is abbreviated as SAD, standard American diet, is rich in added sugars. So the recommendation for added sugars on a daily basis is about 25 to 35 grams or less. The average American is taking in about 77 grams of added sugar. It's pretty low in fiber. The recommendation is 28 to 35 grams, though I usually recommend more for most people. Average American intake, again, is about 10 to 15 grams of fiber per day. And then it's rich in saturated fats. And this one's a little bit trickier because a lot of our more recent research suggests that saturated fats themselves, which most of what we get for saturated fat is coming from animal products, are probably not the problem itself. It's what gets pushed out when we have a lot of saturated fat. So Americans tend to get a lot of our saturated fat from processed foods and fast food, which are low in fiber, low in vegetables, low in phytonutrients, low in omega-3s. So it's not necessarily even so much the saturated fats that are the problem. It's what we're not getting enough of. So kind of simply what you can do to help with brain health, to kind of bring it down to the most simple, basic level, is just eating mostly whole foods. We come back to that almost every week when we think about what's going to be best for our health is whole foods. Aim for lots of those unsaturated fats, especially omega-3s, our fatty fish, ground flaxseed, chia seed, olives, olive oil, all of that kind of stuff. And aim for whole health that we were talking about a little bit with memory earlier. Mental health, spiritual health, emotional health, physical health, getting enough sleep. Easy, right? Just focus on everything and you'll be good. But whole foods, if we can really pay attention to whole foods in and of themselves, that's a great starting point.
Okay. Now, just looking, I was just Googling around here on memory and nutrition and all that, and I came across the one by a Harvard nutritionist
who's
written a book called This Is Your Brain on Food.
Yep. It's a great book.
He says, stay away from added sugars,
yes,
which you mentioned, fried foods.
Yep.
High glycemic load carbohydrates.
So that's our refined carbs.
Alcohol.
I didn't say that, but that is a good
probably
one.
Probably should be a kind of an obvious one.
It should
maybe.
Be, but.
Yeah. And especially too much of it. And nitrates.
Nitrates, yeah. You know, nitrates are another one. When we talk about that saturated fat, most of where we find our nitrates is in processed meat. That's probably the biggest. There are some places that have natural nitrates in them that we're not going to get rid of, but processed meat. Deli meat, lunch meat, that's where we get most of our nitrates from. You can get some good nitrate-free meat, deli meat now, and that's usually like in our home we try to buy, if we get deli meat, we get the nitrate and nitrate-free one because that's probably one of the things that is harmful to heart health and all of those things.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to learn more about, what day is it again today? Yeah. I thought that was my joke, but somebody else used that on here. It's National Memory Day.
It is.
How can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook at IMU Nutrition. That's IMU Nutrition, all one word. Or on my website at imunutrition.com or up at the clinic. So if you go here to Madison Healthcare Services, you can ask your provider if you and I chatting is a good fit. Call your insurance company, see if they cover me, and we'll make it work.
All right. Sounds good. And you're always available?
Sure am.
We're located right here in Madison, Minnesota.
Right here.
That's right. All right. Well, Amber, appreciate a lot of good information on this National Memory Day and National Agriculture Day. And we will talk again next week on another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
So one of these days we'll talk about tacos.
One of these days.
All right. Thanks, Amber.